another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is the home of free speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Keep free speech alive. Click on the donate button. Send a donation. And while you're at it, go to nationalbugle.com, which is the home of the kosher-certified app. It is the home of the non-kosher-certified lifestyle. You can go there, download the kosher-certified app, or you can go to the kosher-certified website and use those functions directly from the website. That's if you have a Apple phone, because Apple no longer allows for the kosher-certified app. I wonder why. What could that be? Is Apple kosher certified? I guess it is. Tim Cook certainly is. Well, this is Monday, and Monday's the day that Mark Collett from across the pond checks in with us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here on this sunny Monday here in the UK, where we're all trapped inside our homes, only being allowed out for one piece of verified exercise, and we've been warned that if we take more than one, we'll be allowed none at all, because our not elected officials, not representatives, but our mighty leaders who tell us what we can and can't do are getting very annoyed that some people on a day like this would rather be out in the sun.
To what extent are people cooperating with that, and are there any variances in that degree of cooperation across demographic groups?
Well, it's quite funny you say that, because it seems that the people who are actually following the rules are quite conservative. And when I say conservative, I mean conservative with a small c. They are people who are traditionalists, people who are quite respectful. Those who are not following it seem to be people who are quite liberal in their outlook. Quite young. You often get quite a lot of people from ethnic minority backgrounds, and it seems that the police are far more interested in travelling around, taking pictures and shaming people who are out and about on a family bike ride and really doing no one any harm, than they are on clamping down on certain ethnic minority communities who are still going to their places of worship en masse and are still doing all the things they were before this lockdown was.
Are they going to, for instance, the mosque? Are they going to mosque on Friday for group prayers and whatnot?
I've heard that many are, and I've heard that it's hitting the Muslim community harder. In the same way, our tribal friends, those that cannot be named, the tribe from the Middle East who seem to be pulling the strings, they seem to be disproportionately affected by this too.
The New Rochelleites.
They don't seem to want to follow the rules. They don't, for some reason, Patrick. I don't know why this is. Maybe you could help me explain this. But these people seem to have a strange idea that the rules don't apply to them, and that there's some sort of two-tier system where they're exempt.
I know. Well, that's how it's always been. That's what confuses them. It's always been like that. They've never had to follow the rules, whether it's, you know, the nuclear non-proliferation system or simply insider trading. You know, the rules don't apply to them. And so why should these?
Exactly. And it seems to be hitting them hard, and they seem to be disproportionately affected by this. However, the media is obviously playing them up as victims, not as people who aren't following the rules. And that's the important thing. They're not getting this because they didn't follow the rules. They're getting this because they're victims. And we must never forget they're victims. And they're always victims of whatever happens. Because no matter what happens, if somebody comes out of it as the victim, it has to be that group. Because we must always remember, as white folks, they must always have our eternal sympathy.
That's right. That's right. Well, we have in the United States, and you've heard of her, a representative, young representative, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And now, I don't know if she's saying that black and brown people are coming down with a coronavirus at greater rates than white people, but she's saying something akin to that. And that these stimulus bills, these relief bills for, you know, economic relief bills for for people who are being hit by the coronavirus, they have to be drafted with reparations in mind because of environmental racism and whatnot. Would anybody ever say that certain segments of the population that aren't going along with stay-at-home advice or wearing a mask directives, if one segment or another of the population wasn't cooperating, that they would be anything other than victims?
Well, the interesting thing here, I can only talk from a European perspective because I haven't had my eye on the American situation as much as I've had my eye on the UK and the European situation. But in France, the police have already said they will not be enforcing this lockdown in ethnic ghettos. So you have a situation where ethnic minorities in ghettos are free to do as they please, and they're not following the quarantine. And the reason the police aren't attempting to enforce the quarantine in ethnic minority areas, we both know why. They aren't enforcing the quarantine because they know it will cause a riot, that if the police go to some highly enriched area, they'll be attacked, as they have been before. I can't remember which year it was, but the news on New Year's Day was a horrific attack on two French police officers who had gone into an ethnic ghetto and asked some youths to stop doing something before being brutally attacked. And that is why the police are withdrawing from these areas. That will mean, though, that these people get it in larger numbers, and at which point the state will be blamed, and it will be institutional racism or any other amount of nonsense as to why these people have got the disease. But the point being, really, the police can't win, can they? Because if the police go to these areas and try to enforce the law, there'll be a riot and the police will be blamed for starting a riot. But if the police don't enforce the law and these people are just wandering around doing as they always do, they'll die in larger numbers, at which point the police will be blamed for not looking after them.
Yeah, it's either going to be police brutality or police neglect, one or the other.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better myself. When you look at it, I mean, I'm laughing because it is so absurd, isn't it? It's so absurd. It's almost as if you've got somebody rolling around on the floor on fire. You chuck a bucket of water over them, and they start screaming at you for getting their clothes wet. So next time you see the person on fire, you say, well, I'm not going to chuck the bucket of water on you because you complained last time. And then they start shrieking at you because you're bullying them by not putting out the fire, by throwing the water on them. You can't do right for wrong. And the media will be absolutely salivating at whichever outcome takes place, because whichever outcome takes place, it will lead to the conclusion that we live in an institutionally racist society where people of colour have terrible things done to them. They either get whacked over the head and told to go in their homes, or they get at which point they've got a bump on their head, or they get allowed to roam free, at which point they get ill from the coronavirus. And either way, it's all Whitey's fault.
Mm-hmm. So I have a friend in Japan who's he's a researcher, and he's written up a protocol for how to get over this whole virus thing. And it's largely based on the Japanese experience, which has, you know, there's been things to imitate there and maybe things not to repeat. But, you know, using the experience of Japan and Asia, and he's written a protocol that he thinks would be good for America. We could go right back to work. We just have to take these common sense precautions when we go out and not eat together and, you know, wash our hands and a lot of just common sense things about wearing a mask. A lot of it's wearing a mask. And he says, and of course the population, we'll get the population to cooperate because all you have to do is set very high fines for anybody who goes out without the mask in violation of these directives. Well, you see, this is the big difference between his homogeneous Asian society and the societies that we live in. Because, first of all, the Japanese are, for the most part, going to cooperate even without a draconian fine. And if you set a fine of, you know, $100 or $1,000 for not cooperating, those people who might not have cooperated in the first place, well, who are relatively few and far between, they're going to be coaxed by that. That's not the case in the United States. And even with white people, I mean, a lot of white people who might cooperate if it was just, you know, mandated without a draconian fine, a lot of white people would actually probably be prompted by the draconian fine not to go along with it out of a principle. But then when you start talking about the minority communities, the black ghettos and the barrios who might not speak English very well in the first place, where are you going to get compliance? And we've already had announcements in major cities that they're not going to be prosecuting shoplifting or auto theft or even burglary. Are they going to enforce a mandate on wearing masks? So the whole thing is, and what my friend really fails to see, because he just thinks, oh, there's no reason to shut down the economy. All you have to do is follow these rules. The whole point is that in our societies, getting people to follow simple rules is no longer a simple task. Is it?
It's not. And the other thing is, you don't really have the kind of community spirit and respect you once had in a society where it was largely homogenous. And this in itself creates a huge, huge problem. So now we have a situation where people don't respect one another, they don't respect the rules, and they don't respect the rules because the rules aren't applied evenly. So let's say I'm a young white guy and it happens to be my birthday, and I want to go out to the park with my friends and sit in the park and drink a few beers. Well, why would I not go to the park? Why would I respect what the police are saying when the police have already made exceptions for ethnic minorities? Because at that point, it's not fair, is it? Why should I miss out when these people don't have to ever miss out? When these people never have to abide by the law? So you get then the total breakdown of law and order. And it's very, very unfortunate. But I think the coronavirus is teaching everybody a lesson about open borders, multiculturalism, and globalism. And the lesson is clear. Open borders present numerous threats. One of those threats is our physical health, not just demographics, but also our physical health. And secondly, when push comes to shove, if you go through a tough period and your society is not a high-trust, high-IQ, homogenous society, things fall to pieces very, very quickly. And things are certainly falling to pieces now. And I am looking at the situation here, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, something good can come of this whole coronavirus outbreak. Maybe this will be a wake-up call for many people. Because so much of the time, we as nationalists, we put out ideas, we speak about ideas, we speak about theory. We say, look, things like open borders put you at risk. Things like open borders make it so that you are less safe, so that you potentially are at much greater risk. And people say, oh, your negativity, oh, well, that's hypothetical. It's no longer hypothetical. This isn't a hypothetical argument. This is reality. If it was not for open borders and globalization, the disease wouldn't be here. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The government's slow reaction to this disease meant it spread more rapidly. Because when you live in a globalized world where profit is king, where GDP is God, all that matters is keeping the economy going. And that is what kills people. So now you've got this choice, haven't you? We either shut things down and the economy is no longer God, or you keep servicing the economy and many, many more people will die. And this has done a lot to show up this false narrative pushed by so-called conservatives people like Boris Johnson, people like Donald Trump, who just keep talking about their precious economic miracle. Well, I'll tell you this. What is the point of creating a booming economy for the next generation when our people won't make up or won't comprise the next generation? Because that's what we're faced with now.
Well, that's the point. Is the is the economy there to serve the people, or are the people there to serve the economy? And the leaders who typically have who are typically obsessed with GDP, for them it's the latter. It's the people are here to serve the GDP. And you know, you saw this, and I think people have accepted that this is the case. So you remember Donald Trump in 2016, he had a pretty decent campaign. And, you know, there's still some pretty he still shows glimmers of hope. I was watching him last night talking about the coronavirus at one of these hostile press conferences where the reporters berate him. And one of the things he said just, and it wasn't called for, there was no reason he needed to say it, but he just said, you know, we're spending $16 trillion on wars in the Middle East. Like, well, I'm glad he said that. Let's do something about it now. But, you know, he had talked about wars in the Middle East. He talked about shutting, you know, building a wall and even decreasing legal immigration, let alone illegal immigration. But, you know, one of the things he talked about was trade protectionism and building new factories, bringing back jobs to America. And that was, you know, those were the three main issues that he ran on: with trade, immigration, and stopping wars. Well, he's elected, and then he's for the first year, first 2 years, was it? He was talking about, you know, well, he was having the trade war with China. And then he was talking about all these factories that were coming back, which was like, well, are they really coming back? Are we really seeing them? Because, you know, there's some major, some very well-known large factories. Like there was a factory that built cars in Lordstown, Ohio. It had originally been a Volkswagen factory. It had been built by Volkswagen. Then I think Chrysler took it over. Or one of the companies took it. Maybe it was GM took it over, and that's being mothballed. But he kept talking about all of these factories that were being open. And then at his disastrous State of the Holocaust message in 2019, when he suddenly said, we need more immigrants than ever before, because we're building all these factories, I'm bringing back all these factories, and we need people to work in them. And if you're saying we're building new factories and therefore, which isn't really true in the first place, but even if it were, we're bringing back factories and therefore we need to bring in people to work for them, then there's you're obviously saying that the people are here to serve the economy. The people are here to work in the factories. The factories aren't here for people to work in them. It's the people serve the economy, not the economy serves the people. And the fact that he said such a thing and wasn't criticized in, you know, particularly the way I said that just, you know, that went over uncritically, that says a whole lot. Now, we've only got a few seconds, but I know that you did a video on GDP. The GDP has become kind of the god of the god at the foot of which all of our leaders worship. So when we come back, I'm going to want to hear all about that. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
So we are back, and if there's one thing more absurd than shipping our jobs overseas, it is importing a whole bunch of foreigners to steal our jobs here in our own countries. And yet that's precisely what's happening, isn't it?
That is exactly what's happening. And it nicely brings us on to my video that I produced last week.
Thank you for your service.
The video. Well, you and I had talked about this for a long time, because for quite a while, you and I have been discussing the fact that GDP was not the be-all and end-all for a nation. It's not even the be-all and end-all for an economy, in fact. But what you constantly hear from conservative leaders, especially people like Trump, people like Boris Johnson, is that we as a people need more immigration, but the immigration just needs to be legal. It needs to be legal migration so that we can bring people in through the correct channels and those people can be put to work. Because more people equals more units of labour, it equals more people spending, it equals more people consuming. And all of that consumption, spending and labour boosts the economy and grows GDP. And I'm not going to spoil the video because it'd be very, very difficult for me to do this particular video justice on a show like this, because I'm not saying my skills in animation are particularly good, but the video did feature a short animated segment which showed a small analogy, which was a group of people sat around a table who were then joined by more people, which caused the size of a cake in the middle of the table to grow. And it showed actually how growing this cake by adding more people didn't necessarily mean that everyone who was around the table originally ended up better off. And although you constantly hear conservative leaders saying we must grow GDP, we must take on legal migration, we must welcome these people, we must ensure that we bring more units of labour into the economy, equally, you hear that when you do bring more people into the economy, it forces down wages. And when it forces down wages, this migration makes normal people worse off. So why then do conservative leaders enjoy bringing thousands and thousands and thousands more people into Western nations in order to grow GDP? Well, if you live in a nation where the vast majority of wealth is concentrated in the hands of a tiny minority of people, and you take the same example that we previously had, you will actually see that the only people whose money increases when you grow GDP through mass immigration is the people who have the vast majority of wealth concentrated in their hands. Normal people lose out. Migrants obviously get to come here and all the benefits associated, so they're happy. But the real winners are the 1%, the people who control the vast majority of the wealth. And I think when you look at people like Donald Trump saying that they want more immigration, not less, and they need to keep the economic miracle going by inviting more people into the economy, I think that underlies just how out of touch Donald Trump is with normal people. Because Donald Trump, being a billionaire, is one of those people. And there is a very good quote, and this isn't a quote from me, it was a quote that was actually left on my recent video, and it said, "Anyone who believes in infinite growth on a finite planet is either mad or an economist." And that is very true, because basing what you do on infinite economic growth is always going to end in disaster at some point. And I think now we are reaching that point of disaster, and the coronavirus is showing this up, because a video that I'm currently working on for release on Friday is a follow-up to last week's video, which was called The Genocidal Cult of GDP. This week's video is called Are You Willing to Die for GDP? And in this week's video, I discuss the idea that as GDP has been grown through immigration, it's also been grown through other means. Now, one thing I didn't discuss in this particular video that I'm working on is the fact that one of the driving forces of women going into the workplace was to grow GDP. Because if you have 50% of the population at home, 50% who aren't actually working, 50% of people who could be in a factory, in an office, in some place of work or another, aren't actually in that place of work, but are homemakers, mothers, and wives, well, you could instantly double your GDP by forcing all those people into the workplace, which is something our masters did. And obviously that's had a massively negative effect on our birth rate and has impacted the demographic changes happening in this country in a very, very negative way. But the other way our economies have been grown is by the deregulation of credit and the banking system. So now we have a situation where everyone can get loans, everyone can get credit, so people are constantly spending, which again is part of their infinite growth plan.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that when we get back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
So, we are back, and we are talking about GDP, as, frankly, it's been, at least in times of non-World War, it's been the main objective of government since the end of World War II, is maximization of GDP. And I want to say, regarding the current worldwide crisis of coronavirus, I want to say that I think it's really important. I think people need work. And I'm not talking about GDP. I'm saying people need to work because people need to produce goods and services, because people need goods and services in order to survive. And also, we're going to have a depression with massive numbers of people out of work. You're going to have a huge spike in unnecessary deaths from suicide, from drug overdoses, and accidents, and all sorts of crime and all sorts of other bad things. People need to work for a variety of reasons. And so I'm really, really upset about the massive economic shutdowns. I think that we need to do all of the mitigation we can through hygiene and common sense, which doesn't seem... Well, I don't know. But at any rate, that's... I do think people need to get back to work. I'm thinking of starting a new business of selling masks that have messages on the mask like, "I'll wear this dang mask, now give me my job back." And when I go out, I am wearing the mask not so much for any other reason other than to set an example. Let's wear those masks, but give us our jobs back. But with regard to GDP, you know, one illustration is that if you mentioned women working, if you have two women and they're each at home with their own respective children, raising their children, the work that they do in raising their children, which is very important work, does not count towards the GDP. But if those two families were to hire each other's mother, so the Smiths are hiring Mrs. Jones to raise the little Smith kids, and the Joneses are hiring Mrs. Smith to raise the little Jones kids, and they're paying each other, and that's getting taxed, obviously, that's contributing to the GDP. And so isn't everybody better off by having mothers raise other people's children? Does that make sense?
It certainly doesn't make any sense, but it's a very, very good argument. And it's the same argument that the system makes as to why women are better off in the workplace. So a woman goes out into the workplace and she now pays, she earns a wage, and the vast majority of that wage goes towards childcare costs so somebody else can look after her children.
Or she simply doesn't have children.
Or she doesn't have children.
But we can always import new children.
Exactly. Then we have an aging population, which makes a great argument for migration, doesn't it? Because obviously if you have an aging population, what do you need? Well, an aging population needs young people to look after it. Well, where do you get young people from? You get them from overseas. And those young people, as we know, do such a wonderful job of looking after elderly white people. Obviously, that is sarcasm, because we've seen how elderly white people get treated in some of these care homes that are run and staffed by migrants. Some of the treatment in those places is absolutely obscene. But again, all of these things are, or all of these policies, should I say, not things, all of these policies are aimed at endlessly growing GDP. Because now, when you actually look at how our nations are run, our nations are no longer run for the benefit of the people. They are run just like a balance sheet. So all that matters is that big stack of cash keeps growing, that the big stack of cash never, ever stops growing. And if it does stop growing, then everyone panics. Everyone goes absolutely crazy, because that's all that matters. And now people are being asked to make a choice. And that choice is, and some people are actually railing for this choice. Some people are saying, we must have this. They're saying, well, does it matter? Does it matter what social impacts they are? We have to get out to work. And the question people are being asked is, do you want to service your debt, or do you want to save your parents? That's the new question. The new question is, are you going to meet your financial obligations? Are you going to be a good little debt slave? But being a good little debt slave means that one of your elderly relatives might die. And this is now the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice at the temple of GDP will be when we sacrifice the elderly and the vulnerable so that we can go back into the workplace, not to put food on the table, but ultimately to pay debts. And that's the important thing with a credit-based society, is that the majority of your money does not go on food. The majority of your money is not spent on living. It's spent on servicing endless debt. Debt from credit card companies, debt from loan providers, debt from payday loan companies, debt on higher purchase of motor vehicles, debt on goods and services that we've procured from shops that let us walk out of the door without paying a penny but tied us up for the next 5 years, paying a monthly fee. All of these things need servicing. And these things are not the same as going to your supermarket and buying two or three bags of groceries to feed your family. Because now the whole economy, or a large part of the economy, isn't actually based on goods and services being bought, or so I say being produced and bought, but is based on goods and services being imported, and then once they're imported, being sold to people who have basically taken a loan to buy the goods and services. And this is a major, major problem, because in Britain, you've got a record number of people. Something like a third of Britons have less than £1,500 in savings. And the problem with that is that all it needs is a month for those people to be in a financial mess, for those people to be financially underwater, at which point they either go out to work and risk getting sick, or the banks, the loan companies, the companies that have given them higher purchase agreements, they will all foreclose on them at the same time, and these people will lose everything. So people aren't worrying about starving. People are worrying about servicing their debt. This is usury, and usury destroys nations.
Mm-hmm. We have, you make the point that so many Britons don't have enough savings to get them past more than a month. And it's the case here as well. Now, we've got, in the United States, we've had 10 million people file for unemployment benefits over the past 2 weeks, over 10 million people. And then, of course, you can only file for unemployment benefits if you had certain types of jobs. If you are self-employed, or you have a job that you were regarded as a contractor rather than your contract labor as opposed to wage labor, and there's a taxation difference, at least here in the United States, you can't file. And huge numbers of people work under those circumstances. So you've just had we're facing tens of millions of people losing their jobs in a workforce of 50 million, 150 million. So huge numbers of people out of work. And it's not just and then other people who haven't lost their jobs still not working. And then this is being replicated in country after country in Europe. But not just in Europe. India, which really doesn't have very much coronavirus, India is having the shutdown. China, maybe they've gone through much of their shutdown, but they're not completely reopened. You're having this all over the planet, and at some point you reach a point where the goods and services that people are surviving need to survive. Where are they going to be produced, and how much savings does the human race have before, in terms of stored goods, services you can't even store, but stored goods, at one point, are we going to start having massive suffering and breakdown of society? How long can we quarantine ourselves? I mean, we can do a month, but you hear, it's almost as if there's a bidding war among leaders to be more and more alarmist, and you hear, no, we can't reopen until June. No, it's not going to be until the autumn. This might be going on for, until the, for 18 months. You're just hearing a bidding war, and much of it seems to be completely divorced from reality, because somebody has to be working, and you can print the printing press, create new money and send dollars or pounds or euros to people, but you can't just push a button and your food and your shelter and, repairs for things that are broken and other things. You can't just push a button and have those things automatically created. And if India and China are also shutting down, you can't even import it. So what are you going to do? We have to get back to work. There has to be a lot of common sense. But I'm not saying this because of GDP. And one last thing is, while people are sheltering in place, this is something that's important, and it's important for the economy, but it's not important for GDP. Get your house in order. So clean your basement. Do things in your life that you need to do. Some can be for your own psychological well-being and relaxment or whatever, working out and things like that. But also things that are going to make you you know, more organized and better able to deal with life. Those don't get reflected in GDP, but are really, really important. So I guess that's my little rant.
Well, I'll just add to that. Obviously, there are economic arguments, and the economy isn't something that is unimportant, but an economy should be there to serve the people, not the people there to serve mm-hmm. the economy. Mm-hmm. And we need to get back to an economy that is based on producing items or goods of genuine value, where people are gainfully employed in the production of these goods and services. Once you build an economy on endless free money and credit, that produces a bubble. And bubbles have a habit of bursting. And the problem that we're seeing now is just how fragile an economy built on this kind of credit really is. And when push comes to shove, it leaves you asking a question. And that question is, what do you think is more important? Are you more committed to servicing your debt, or are you more committed to ensuring that your elderly loved ones survive? And the fact that we're even discussing these things, the fact that's even on the table as a potential solution, letting people die to keep the rest of us with our ability to service our debt, shows just how far we've fallen. And one thing I will say about certain other communities is I'm sure that some of the ethnic minority communities here in the West would be a lot less willing to see their elderly relatives die than we are. They actually have a sense of community. They have a feeling of love and kinship for their own people, and they look after one another. Whereas we are so willing to scrabble over our own loved ones just to service the debts that we've accrued. And the people holding these debts, the people giving us these free money, this free money, they have no goodwill towards us. They aren't giving us credit. They aren't giving us loans because they like us. They're giving us credit and loans because they want to enslave us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to make a point about the masks and the gloves and these things, these mitigation efforts to stop the spread. What people really need to understand is when you're wearing the mask, you're not wearing it primarily to protect yourself. You're wearing it primarily to protect your grandma or somebody else's grandma or vulnerable people, because, you know, many of the people listening to this show, even if you catch the coronavirus, it probably is not even going to be the worst sickness you ever had. You'll get over it, and it might be pretty mild for you. But if you catch it and you get over it, does that mean you didn't? You might have spread it to somebody else before you even knew you had it, or maybe while you knew you had it. But before you knew you had it, you might have wound up spreading it to somebody else who's going to take it home to grandma, and grandma dies. And so the point of these mitigation efforts isn't primarily for your health. It's primarily for the health of other people. And so I think that's all important, but I do think it's important for people to work. There was something else I was about to say, and this is a little, you know, this might seem a little bit off topic, but there are so many people, I've had people who've called this show, and I've heard other people talk about this, who try to link the whole coronavirus to 5G. 5G, the fifth generation of cellular technology, cell phone technology. And, you know, I hear these kind of scripted comments on oxygen uptake by mitochondrial DNA and this and that, that sounds kind of pseudoscientific. There's really nothing to it. There isn't anything to that being the cause of the coronavirus or being the real cause of people dying. Want to put that to rest. But 5G, you have to ask yourself, why would we need 5G anyway? I mean, with our current technology, everything that we need to do by in terms of telecommunications? Aren't we already able to do it? What is it that we would get from 5G? Downloading Hollywood brain pollution in a matter of seconds? Do you have anything to say on 5G? We're going to the break in about 10 seconds.
Oh, the 5G thing. I find it very, very perplexing that for years and years, nationalists have said, we need something that proves absolutely to the people that open borders kills, that globalization isn't good for our people or for our economy, and that our entire worship of GDP has been false, and we need to get people reorientated in that.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back, and 5G economy, run with it.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely absurd that something like this happens, which really proves everything that we've been saying hasn't been scaremongering. We're actually correct that globalization and open borders kills it, presents a huge threat to our people, and that this economy built on credit, built on short-term materialism, doesn't actually have a stable base. Everything we've said is now coming to pass. And some nationalists, rather than saying, wow, this is the opportunity that we have been waiting for to prove what we're saying is correct. They are now, for some reason, trying to prove that the coronavirus is a hoax or it's actually 5G. And I think that kind of mentality is utterly destructive, utterly insane. And the kind of videos as well and the people that are pushing this 5G coronavirus link, those people are not people that I would particularly trust to come up with something like this and not just be making it all up. I think now is our time to start really putting our foot down on the accelerator when it comes to telling people what we've been saying in the past and linking it to coronavirus to prove our point. Now is not the time to be suggesting that actually 5G is what's killing people. To me, that's a complete nonsense and a waste of time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's pretty widespread. There was a boxer who was a world champion from one of these Muslim countries who's now pushing it. You know, of course, boxers are... They don't have any impact to their head. Their brains are in really good shape. I don't know. I shouldn't say anything like that. But, okay. Last point. While you're sheltering in place, you've got some time. This is a good time to maybe break out your old science textbooks. Review some basic science. Just review some basic stuff. I want to get back to work. I want to be back at work. But with this downtime, let's use it to our advantage. Study some just nuts and bolts of stuff so that when people come at you with these pseudo-scientific arguments, you're able to identify it. And you might not like vaccinations, but immunize yourself from BS. How about that?
I very, very much like that. I think that'll wind a few people up though, Patrick.
Okay, good. So we know you're doing a follow-up to your GDP video, and people can see your videos still on YouTube. You haven't gotten kicked off YouTube yet. You're very careful with that, I know. And you have a BitChute channel. And so that follow-up, is that coming out this week?
That will be out this week. And this week on Patriotic Weekly Review, we have Dr. Edward Dutton,
who is a very interesting person, and he is somebody who's been keeping up with his science, hasn't he?
He certainly has, and I always look forward to having Edward on. I think it's going to be a very good show. And obviously, with people being on lockdown, hopefully that will increase the viewership a little more so we can spread our good word that little bit further.
Well, Mark, thank you very much, as always, for coming on Mondays. We always look forward to it, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.